What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be with you on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. It is Albrock and Caster. Max Powers producing. We got all kinds of good stuff for you coming today. We will be giving away some Wichita Wind Surge tickets. We will be giving away some HTO. We will be taking your calls all at 869-1240. We'll be doing that throughout the next few hours here on the program. We have a lot of topics to get to today. You can leave us comments on those topics through Facebook, YouTube, X. You can do that through the Odyssey app with your little microphone. The little icon there, literally voice messages. Always appreciate those. And we appreciate everybody watching us on 12 News Connected. Happy Mother's Day weekend in the rearview mirror now. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, it was good. Did you, your wife have a good Mother's Day? Did you guys enjoy it? Did you pamper her, celebrate her all day?
Yeah, I think so. Look, we had kids soccer, and that's kind of what you do now. It was good, though. Like, yeah, you wake up, I made breakfast, and then we went to a soccer game. And then we, just kind of went through the day. You try to, make sure she doesn't have to do any dishes or, the little stuff. She went over to Crestview and played tennis for a couple hours with her friend. What did I do? Restrung her tennis racket as a gift and she got a massage. I don't know. We don't do gifts. You know that now. We talk about this all the time. We're not we've never been real good about that. So, yeah, it's kind of just what do you want to do today? And hopefully you don't have to do any work or anything like that. How was yours?
Yeah, it was good. My wife has this Mother's Day tradition. She's done it the last few years, I think, mainly since we've had kids, where she just likes to leave. just let me go for a while.
Sounds an awful lot like a Father's Day tradition.
I know, right? That's what I would want to do for Father's Day, and I have done that before. But we went to brunch, went to church, and then she was like, peace out. We'll see you later. Have fun with the kids. And so it was just the kids and I, and took care of them, got them dinner, put them down for bed. And then she didn't come home until later in the evening, long after they were put down. So she just kind of had, the afternoon and evening to herself.
Yeah, that's cool. Moms deserve whatever it is that they want on that day. My own mother runs a flower shop, a floral business. So it's like a recovery day from one of the crazy holidays of the year for them. So it's always growing up. And that was always the case growing up. We all just worked for her basically on Mother's Day, whatever it was. So I'm glad that we celebrate moms the weekend, Mother's Day weekend, the old joke, Father's Day and Mother's Day weekend. Right. So hopefully all the moms felt all the love this weekend. We appreciate all of you very, very much. It's a good weekend in sports. Of course, the NBA and NHL playoffs continue. Max wasn't real thrilled with our hockey outcome last night. Both of our teams went down as we are watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. NBA playoffs continue to be, I think, kind of unpredictable, right? We had it wrong on Friday with the Thunder and Nuggets, but then the Thunder get it done last night. Now it's shrunk down to a 3-game series, basically. And the Royals, Tommy, lose a series at home. And we'll get into all of this with the Royals when we come back. But they lose a series at home. Now they go and they flip around and they go on the road. And they score 2 runs without extra innings in 3 games. So there's a lot to dig into with them as they now begin a stretch on the road this week. They go down to Houston tonight. So we'll get into all of that. I mean, I know there was golf this weekend. It was a good sports weekend.
Yeah, you know, NBA playoffs obviously heating up for sure. I watched the end of the Thunder Nuggets game yesterday afternoon, and you know, Thunder, they needed that. They needed that on the road to even the series 2 games apiece. And they were able to get that. It was definitely a defensive battle, I think you could say, down the stretch for both of those teams. But you know, that was one that Oklahoma City had to have, and they got it.
They got it. And that becomes a 3-game series. I mean, I think that's been Celtics Knicks has been compelling, for sure. So I don't want to take anything away from that series, but man, this Thunder Denver series to me, Tommy, has just been like, I don't know what's going to happen like at all in this series. It's been very unpredictable, and that's good. I mean, that's been fun to watch, and you called it the winner there, maybe the favorite in the West. Maybe may very well be right. We'll see.
Well, Indiana, you know, after watching Indiana and what they did to Cleveland yesterday, I might be rethinking that a little bit. What was that, like a 47-point lead at halftime or something like that, something stupid like that?
In a game that Cleveland had to have, by the way.
Yeah.
Had to have it, and they didn't get it. So there's all of that going on. There's always NFL headlines. So we'll get to all of that today. We've got these giveaways to tell you about. Let's start you. We don't normally do this. Let's start you with the HTO because we have a lot of fun stuff to do and tell you about and give away today. So we'll do that one. It's T to the short code 20357, TEA to 20357 for your chance at a free iced tea right now. East Wichita, West Wichita, Derby. It'll work at any of those. Free cup of tea. Get in there, try them out. It's a very busy weekend as the weather turned warm this weekend. We appreciate everybody that supported us out there at HTO, but you can get a free one right now. That's T20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We will be giving away some Wind Surge tickets today, and I believe every day this week. So stay tuned. We'll get you that opportunity to do that. And then we've got some music, Tommy, for tickets that we're going to be giving away. We got all kinds of stuff. Our guy Zeb woke up on Friday and he was like, you know what? I choose chaos. We're going to have 36 giveaways over the next 5 days.
That's great.
I love it. I love the fact that we can reward our listeners, viewers, watchers, whatevers to come in. And the good thing about the text contest is if you're listening to us, I talked to a listener about this a couple weekends ago and they're like, oh man, you know, we're always, I always catch you guys on the Odyssey app, but I'm never listening for any of those tickets. I'm like, yo, they're a text contest. You can still enter. Enter the contest, even if you're listening to us later in the day. So I love it. I love that we can reward. We love and appreciate so much that everybody hangs out with us here in the morning. So the chance to give away so much cool stuff is a great thing. And again, we'll have lots this week. I think it's 2 concerts, Wind Surge tickets, and some HTO. So that's all coming in the next couple few hours here. So stay tuned for your opportunities to win those. But yeah, good strong work from the promotions department right now.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, especially when you've got a good mix of, you know, obviously we always do HTO, so we have something consistent going on the program. But the Wind Surge, they're back in action, by the way, after 2 weeks on the road. They haven't been in town for a minute. They had a pretty pretty exciting series, I guess, on the road. I know they had a couple of them, but one specifically against Northwest Arkansas. They ran into Jack Caglione and the monster that is Cags currently in Double A. So the Wind Surge return home now, and like you mentioned, we've got tickets to see them in action.
As the weather turns too, it's funny. I feel them on weather. You know, as an iced tea slinger. myself. Like, it's like, come on, good weather on the weekends, baby. It looks like we're going to have great weather. We'll use a little more of that rain, but man, God, I mean, I don't know. Can you see the sunburn on top of my head?
Yeah, you got a little color this weekend.
It's we're at that time of year. You better get it on, because that was a beautiful, sunny, God, it was nice this weekend. Man, what a great weekend it was. All right, we'll come back and we'll talk a little Kansas City Royals. What are we thinking here on a Monday? I've got something that it reminds me of. I want to see if Tommy or any of you agree. We'll have that next. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Let's do one of those giveaways we were talking about right now. This one will be a little old-fashioned here. This is a call-in contest. Let's call it the second caller on this one right now. Will win a pair of tickets to the Gone Fishing Tour. This is Kingfish and Samantha Fish at the Cotillion. This will be Thursday, May 22nd. So it's coming up pretty quick, a week from this Thursday. You can win a pair of tickets, I believe. Yes, it is a pair of tickets by being our second caller to 869-1240 right now to win a couple of tickets to the Cotillions Gone Fishing Tour. Kingfish and Samantha Fish. Again, that's a week from Thursday. Second caller, 869-1240. Good luck, everybody. Good luck. Braden messages us on Facebook, says, was at the Royals game with my mom, brother, and sister. Man, I hope that was for Mother's Day. That's awesome, Braden. Lost, and it was all a blast. It is a blast. It's a fun team. So Tommy got really annoyed with me last week when I kept bringing up the offense. So the offense was bad again this weekend. Two runs without extra innings, right? They got one in extra innings on the in the first game of the series. But if we're just looking at, you know, regulation, if you want to call it that in baseball, the offense continues to struggle. It was really interesting because you saw Quatrero doing all kinds of stuff, right? Vinny Pasquantino moved up and down the lineup. He hit better lower in the lineup than a combined 1-for-9 in his normal three-hole spot. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, here's the hardest part about it, Tommy. Like, individually, it's really hard to put your finger individually on, like, a single player. I mean, Vinny has been a problem, but he is starting to hit. But, like, whatever it is, they cannot produce runs. And it's wild to watch it. Two runs in a three-game set against a very mediocre, right, very league average Boston pitching staff outside of Garrett Crochet. I'll give you a hall pass on that one. The rest of it, absolutely not. It's a team that is almost at the bottom of baseball in runs per game, is at the bottom in home runs, bottom third in on base percentage, bottom third in slugging percentage, league average. So they're just not a good offense right now. And they've been such a good pitching staff, and they were a good pitching staff. They gave up 10 runs in the middle game, but in two of the three games, they were good pitching staff, and they can't support it. I'm telling you, man, like it's a major concern for me at this point. Like, I don't know if they're just all of a sudden going to start scoring a bunch of runs in the current state of things.
It's a concern, and I'll give you that. You know, I'll you know, basically, you know, sort of wrap myself into what you're saying a little bit here. It's a concern. I don't know if it's a major concern for me at this point because, you know, two of the games, they didn't get vintage starting pitching from Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo from their one and two guys in that rotation. Now, the game on Saturday, they were facing one of the best pitchers in baseball in Garrett Crochet. So I think you can kind of, you know, take that into consideration a little bit. But it wasn't like they got stellar outings from your top two guys in the rotation. Michael Lorenzen, on the other hand, on Friday pitched phenomenal in that opener. And I'm glad, I know it was a no decision for him, but I'm glad that the Royals didn't let that outing go to waste and they were able to get a win from it. I think here's the interesting thing. I get it. Like, I understand the Royals consistently are not producing a bunch of runs. You have an outlier here and there, like the finale against the White Sox, sure, and they put up 10 and things like that. But I understand that consistently they're not putting up a bunch of runs. They have, I mean, the recipe for success for this team is for their pitching to be elite. And on Friday night, their pitching was elite, and they were able to do enough in extra innings to get it done and get the win, and they didn't spoil the outing from Michael Lorenzen. This is not a team that is built to come from behind. Things got out of hand on Saturday in that game. Zerpa gave up a bunch of runs, you know, like that sort of thing. So the run differential in Saturday's game, a lot, I think it's different than what it actually was. But then yesterday's game, you know, Seth Lugo gives up a big home run. And my immediate thought was, all right, well, that's probably going to do it for the Royals in this game because
that's the problem.
They're not going to be able to come back from this. Yeah. And yeah, it's a problem. It's a concern. I mean, I'll give you that. But at the same time, that's never been the recipe for the Royals to win ball games. The recipe has been for them to get out to a lead early and let their pitching staff go to work. And that's not what happened on either Saturday or Sunday for the Royals.
I think it's too much to ask, though, to have the, I mean, it's not even that the pitching has to be really good. I mean, they almost have to be perfect. And I just feel like
it's your top two guys in the rotation. Like you would look at it on paper and be like, yeah, between Reagans and Lugo, they'll probably at bare minimum split the last two games of this series because you've got your two aces in the rotation.
Right.
And neither one of them pitched up to the level or the standards that I think we would expect from them.
Well, they lost 3-1. Lugo still gave you a quality start. Like, it feels like they can't score more than three runs unless they get a big inning somewhere. And that to me is the problem. Like, there are way too many times this year they score three or fewer. I mean, that's not just like not good offense. That is objectively bad offense. And here's what it reminds me of. This popped into my head, and it's where I think it's about where I am with the offense now. Now, again, it's not apples to apples because the Royals can do a million different things to help their offense between now and the end of this season. It's May 12th and it's baseball, a sport in which a lot of trades happen. It reminds me of the Chiefs last year, the Chiefs who were winning all these games, right? Their defense was great. They had all the intangible stuff. They made it through the season with the one loss. They did all of this stuff. Yet we had this cloud hanging over it, and we did. Like, it was like, are they going to be good enough on the offensive line when push comes to shove to get this done? Like, it was this major question that even though they were winning all these games and finding ways and doing these things, it was like, man, that feels like that's going to come back to bite them. Right now, it feels like this offense is going to come back to bite them. Again, they'll do something to correct it. They will. It's not going to stay like this. It's when can they, and how far are they willing to go? I think that is the most interesting thing to me. But like, three or fewer runs almost every time out, that's too much to put on the pitching staff, which is outstanding. I don't know if it's maybe they try to be just hyper aggressive on the base paths. That's what the 2014 and 15 offenses, which were power deficient, did, right? They put so much pressure on the opposing defenses, and you know, there's never been more base running than there is in baseball. And they're trying, right? Q's trying to move Vinny down in the lineup one game. Like, they get it. Obviously, it's hanging over the team. They understand that they're not scoring anything. Thank goodness their pitching staff has bailed them out from that. But I just remember back to that bad stretch when they were playing good teams, and even their pitching couldn't bail them out of that. That's when it got really bad. And I don't want, as this schedule turns over, and is about to, in June, really turn over, to see this offense continually score three or fewer runs. Their pitching staff, as great as it is, and I think it's top to bottom the best in the American League, it's not going to hold up against a bunch of good teams. Not like that. Not where you come out every day and you say, all right, pitching staff, you got to keep them under three today. Every day. That's what we got to do. That's too much. I don't think any team can do that. And so now it just, you know, what can they do? Like, it's not, I'm not saying it's panic time. I'm not saying this team's not going to go to the World Series like I thought they could. I'm not saying any of that. Just saying it's a major thing that they've got to figure out early in the season so that it's not a problem when it matters late in the season.
I think that there are other things that, you know, they can compensate, I think, for a lack of offense. And you mentioned one of them, and that is being aggressive and effective, for that, you know, matter, on the base paths. They've got to be able to find ways to, you know, move up 90 feet because you can't rely on you know, the actual hitting to come through for them to move runners over, to get into scoring position. Like, you've got to try to do other things. And that could very well be finding better opportunities to steal bases. That could be sacrifices. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can put that into practice. I do think that you've got to get creative. And I think that from what Matt Quatrero has done with the lineup, I mean, he knows, I think he clearly recognizes what he's working with in his lineup right now. And I think my big concern all along has been, you start looking outside of the current lineup. And while that may not be the worst thing in the world, I'm afraid that that becomes a Band-Aid. Like, okay, if we need to go acquire somebody right away and get hyper aggressive and give up the farm to go get a guy to put him in the lineup to hopefully try to help. And then that guy's got a lot of pressure and expectations on his shoulders to be the main catalyst to turn things around. I worry that that's not a long-term viable solution and more of just a Band-Aid. That's kind of the same way I felt about Jack Caglione. I think Cags is fantastic, but I also feel like rushing him may ultimately end up doing more harm for him and his long-term development than the benefits of having him in the lineup right away. So, I mean, I want to make sure that, like, and I think Matt Quatrero and I know JJ Piccolo is thinking along these lines, whatever we do, we need to be organic in the way that we improve things. And maybe it's in the way that they prepare. I don't know what's happening with their hitting coach. I don't know the way that they put this team together as far as, you know, hey, let's get ready for these games to try to turn the offense around. But I do think you've got to try to make it up again with great and elite pitching, which they've done. I think you've got to try to make it up with stellar play in the field. I think you've got to try to make it up with effective base running. Those three things you can compensate a little bit for, and it's more organic than all of a sudden by default being like, we need to look outside of this current team. We got to go get somebody else. We got to call somebody up. We got to go make a trade. We got to give away the farm to try to put a Band-Aid in place that may or may not even be the fix.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they need to overreact. The only external pressure on reacting quickly is how good the division is around them. That would be the only thing. But I agree with that. You've still got to make the right move. And I do think that the best short-term solution for me is to throw the lineup card in the trash can outside of Jonathan India leading off and Bobby Wood Jr. hitting second. I think everything else goes in the trash. And Q needs to go back to his Tampa days where you never knew what the lineup was going to look like, right? From day to day. I don't like that. Traditionally, I'm more of a traditionalist. I like guys to hit in the same. I like that. But that's not working right now. So right now I would move Vinny Pasquantino down in the lineup, down in the lineup, get down there and figure it out. We cannot continue to have you up in big spots and fail. Can't do it. So I would hit Michael Garcia or Drew Waters third. I'd hit the other one fifth. And that's what I would do in the short term. And I'd do it all week. I don't care how much Vinny starts hitting. Leave him down there for a little while. That's what I would do. Whichever guys are hitting well, move them up. Because Bobby Witt Jr. is always hitting. He's always a star. Jonathan India, I think, is back to consistent. Like, he's doing exactly what they wanted him to do. Just take advantage of those two guys as best you can, right? Like, that's, I think in the short, and we saw some of it. Again, Vinny moved down in the middle game of that series, and he actually hit well down there. Great. Put him down there for a little while, because the alternative is trade him. And, like, I don't think anybody wants that to be what happens, right? Whatever it all looks like, but you cannot have that spot in your lineup come up short that often as much as it has this year. So get him down in the lineup. Move, like, there are a lot of players on. That's the other really confusing part about it. Individually, there are a lot of really big producers in this offense, but it's collectively not leading to any runs. I mean, their run production is wildly bad this year, especially when you consider some of the players in this lineup. It's pretty crazy. But they just, man, they can't do it. And they got to do something else.
Well, there's literally no reason in my mind at all for Hunter Renfroe to continue on this team. I don't know why. I mean, I understand that you've got a lack of depth, you know, in the outfield. And so you have to throw somebody out there. But, I mean, his stats alone tell you that he's dragging the team down offensively. I think
play in two of the three games, by the way,
he's not playing much. But I mean, you know, he definitely has been a factor throughout this entire time of just the overall team offense being drugged down. I think one thing, and this goes back to what I was talking about before, as far as the Royals being unwilling to put a Band-Aid in place to try to fix this offensive situation. You know, there's a guy that you're pretty familiar with because you're a Rangers fan. Leody Taveras hit the waiver wire over the weekend, and that would have been somebody that would have been a low risk claim off the waiver wire. They didn't claim him. You know, he went to somebody in the division. He went to the Seattle Mariners, and he's shown an impact just in the couple of games that he's played with Seattle so far. But I think that, and I'm not saying that was the right move. I'm not saying the Royals should have claimed him. I'm saying if the Royals were in the mindset of, we need something completely different, we need to go outside of the current guys we already have, that would have been a move as a low risk, fairly cheap option. I mean, because Taveras, a couple of years ago, you know better than I do, he had a pretty productive season for the Rangers. I know he's a couple of years removed from that, and who knows if he had been able to produce at all, for Kansas City. There's a reason why the Rangers put him on waivers. But had they been thinking in the Band-Aid point of view, we just need somebody else to come in, that would have been a guy that they absolutely could have claimed. And he, you know, maybe he would have produced and maybe not, but they're clearly not thinking in that regard. They're clearly not thinking a short-term fix. It's more about we've got to get the guys on our current lineup to start producing, maybe by lineup changes, you know, moving guys like Pasquantino down in the lineup, different things like that, to try to fix what ails them as opposed to going outside.
Yeah, it's he's an interesting player. I'd rather have him than Hunter Renfro. He's got,
and again, upside. I'm not advocating that they should have claimed him.
No, I'm just saying that
shows me the mindset of the Royals.
I think you can try to get Canna in every day. He's been okay, right? I think that could help. I'm most advocating. Renfro only played in one of the games. He was 2-for-4. I'm most advocating for Vinny to move down right now and just get it figured out, further down in the lineup. I'm most advocating to put Mikel Garcia probably in the 3-hole. I'd be okay in the 5-hole with Waters in the 3-hole, but I think I'd rather have Garcia 3, Waters 5. But what my biggest advocation on this day is to cram all the guys that are hitting together and just see if just those guys can get you a cup. You know, can we get to 4 a game, which is still not a great offense, but can we just get to 4 a game? That should be enough for your pitching. 1 a game, 0 a game, 2, like that's not enough. And so you got to do something. And they're trying. This is not a negative commentary in any way on anything that the Royals are doing. It's just they're trying. It's just I don't know that it's there in the current state. And that's the question that's going to become really important. That's what, by the way, reminds me of the Chiefs last year. Like, it's not that they're not playing well. It's not that you don't believe in it. It's that there's this thing that sits there where you're like, yeah, you know, I don't know. That sure seems like that's going to be a problem. And of course, it took until the Super Bowl for it to actually be a problem, like a big, big problem. But it was.
The wild thing, by the way, about Hunter Renfro is just take a look at his wins above replacement. I mean, it's like there's nobody hardly that is worse than him in Major League Baseball. He's at a -1.6 in wins above Hunter Renfro in his wins above replacement. Like, he's effectively helping the Royals lose more than he is helping them win. And so I understand why you've seen his playing time pretty severely diminish over the last couple of weeks. And if you contrast that with a guy like Mikel Garcia, his WAR is 1.4. They cancel each other out. So when you've got both of them in the lineup, it's a wash. You can't have that with a guy like Mikel Garcia, who is producing in the way that he is.
Derek Carr, Tommy, retires over the weekend. Derek Carr's a really interesting player. Always has been to me. He retires from the Saints. He has had some really good years over his career. He's had some bad years. I think for the most part, he was a good player in this league. He's kind of in that middle ground, right? That purgatory, that is he great? Is he not great? But I mean, he had a career passer rating of 93 almost. He had 3 years over, well, I guess 2 years over 100. What do you think his legacy is?
I think that I think he'll go down as an average NFL quarterback, an okay NFL quarterback. Remember, throughout the course of his entire career, whether we're talking about his time with the Raiders or time with the Saints, which I know was cut short, he never made it to a Super Bowl, number one. He also never made it to a conference championship. So that's 11 years where, you know, he was never able to have really any kind of postseason success with the teams that he played with. Now, one thing that is a caveat to that is that his tenure with the Raiders, especially towards the end, there was so much turnover. Like, they could never get the head coach right. They could never get the supporting cast right around him. he was kind of the mainstay on that roster for a long time as they kind of cycled through head coaches and cycled through different kinds of weapons for him and things like that. The front office could never really get it right with the people around him. But as far as just his overall playmaking ability, I think he's okay. I don't think he's anything incredible. He's not a Hall of Famer. His, you know, win-loss record, you know, overall in his career, he's under 500. You know, so I think he's okay. He was never able to get them, any team he played with, to postseason success.
I think that's fair. I think he's above average. I think he played on too many bad teams that it wouldn't have mattered how good he was. And I think he underperformed in years where they had teams good enough not to win Super Bowls. I mean, he's the perfect example of this concept in the NFL of like the haves and have nots, right? There are so many players that are good players in this league, but you know, they're just like, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. And it's crazy. Like he's one of those guys. I mean, he had a career touchdown interception rate, and that's including the lean years when he got older and was kind of banged up, of 25 touchdowns to 10. I mean, like he threw for 4,000 yards, I think like four or five straight years. Like he was a good quarterback.
I think he was fine. I mean, yeah. I think that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't
there
think
are
that
so many of those guys where you're like, yeah, they're good, but man, they're never going to win a Super Bowl.
The most important thing that he did in his tenure with the Raiders is that he gave them stability at the quarterback position that they hadn't had in years. Like you have to probably go all the way back to what Rich Gannon, probably the last time the Raiders had any kind of stable, effective quarterback that you knew year in and year out was going to be there and was going to produce for you. It had been a long time. They had so many swings and misses at quarterback, including, by the way, Jamarcus Russell, who was one of the biggest draft busts in NFL history at that position. And so the fact that they were able to bring him in, you know, Derek Carr in, and get that quarterback position right for a long time, had he had a better supporting cast around him, had he had stability at quarterback, I don't know if he would have been a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but I certainly think that they would have had a lot more success.
Let's try to like, you almost have to try to do some exercise, right? Like what if Derek Carr was dropped into the Rams offense that won a Super Bowl? What if Derek Carr was dropped into the Eagles offense last year? Because I think Patrick Mahomes is in a different stratosphere than these guys, but like other really good quarterbacks. Now, Stafford's
a borderline. Are we talking Derek Carr in his prime or Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peak Derek Carr.
Yeah, okay.
Peak Derek Carr. Like, would it have been enough? I think that's always interesting because I think it tells us something about the quarterbacks we're talking about, right? I think Matt Stafford's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Jalen Hurts is yet. Think he could be. I think what he does now, we'll see without a tush push if that ever gets taken away, how much that impacts him. I think it will impact him a whole lot, by the way. What would Derek Carr? And I think it's at least worth a conversation to say, yeah, maybe. Like maybe he could have. He never got the opportunity to play in offenses like that. So it's hard to say, but I think he did enough. Like think about, some of the years like Ben Roethlisberger put together or Eli Manning. Is Derek Carr that much better or worse than Eli Manning was? I mean, really?
Eli Manning's a Super Bowl champion, you know, so that puts you over the top compared to Derek Carr.
I'm talking about the player, not the player on the team, just the player himself, right? Just the player. How much better was Eli Manning than Derek Carr?
I don't know. I think Eli Manning was a better quarterback than Derek Carr. You know, maybe not like head and shoulders better, but I think he was better than Derek Carr. And I think that he, during his tenure, you know, especially like peak, like if you're talking peak Eli Manning, heads up against peak Derek Carr, I'll take peak Eli Manning.
So how about this? Eli Manning threw fewer touchdowns basically per season. Let me see about interceptions because I'll bet it was more. It was. So he threw fewer touchdowns per season, more interceptions per season, fewer yards per season, and had a career quarterback rating significantly lower than Derek Carr. Like, Eli Manning's career quarterback rating is 84.1, Tommy. That would be, if we went back and looked like last year at where 84.1 would get you, it would be near the bottom of the league, I would guess. I don't have that one in front of me. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Eli Manning was the ultimate beneficiary. He had Tom Coughlin. He had some amazing coaching, amazing defense. Spags was his defensive coordinator for a while and was the reason they won some Super Bowls. That's what I'm saying. Like,
okay,
you want
so
to about
Derek
luck
Carr,
of the draw?
So Derek Carr, by the way, played in one playoff game in his career. Yeah. 0-1 in that playoff game in 11 seasons. 0-1.
Do you think if their roles were reversed?
Derek Carr. No, I let you throw a bunch of stats out. So
okay,
let me.
Okay, okay.
Derek Carr, in his 11-year career in the regular season, 15 games under 500. Now, that's, I know, wins and losses. There are so many other things that go into it. I think it's Trey Wingo that has always said a win loss record is not a quarterback stat. But I mean, obviously he was the catalyst. I mean, he's the starting quarterback for a long time. And look, I think here's the thing that is happening right now is that I've not been negative about Derek Carr at all this conversation whatsoever. I think you're trying to bait me into being negative about Derek Carr.
I thought you're a Derek Carr guy. I thought you were a Carr fan.
I think Derek Carr's fine. I think he is. Yeah. I think he was a fine, okay, good, whatever superlative you want to throw out there, quarterback. And there were a lot of other factors that came into play with Derek Carr than just, you know, the win-loss record and all of that. He didn't have stability at head coach. He didn't have weapons around him. He had a dysfunctional front office. The team was in the middle of a move for the, you know, several years, you know, towards his peak, where there was all this drama about whether or not they were going to move away from Oakland and ultimately go to Vegas. There were a lot of distractions. He's got one of, you know, the more high-profile owners in the league where a lot of things happen. Oh, by the way, John Gruden was his coach for a couple of years before he was forced out of the NFL due to a bunch of scandals, and Derek Carr had to stand up and talk about it at the podium as kind of the leader of the team. There are a lot of other non-football things that were going on. I think that Derek Carr, in my mind, represents kind of the middle class of quarterbacks where, you know, he's not elite. He's not a guy that is going to be super flashy. He's not a guy that is going to do things that's going to make you go wow and that are going to show up on highlight reels left and right. He got the job done. But he was also 15 games under 500 in the regular season over the course of his career, played in one playoff game in 11 years and lost that playoff game, never made it to a conference championship, never made it to a Super Bowl. So he is who he is. He's fine. It's okay. He's not a Hall of Famer. He walks away with really no postseason success whatsoever. And unfortunately, I think that's going to probably be how he's remembered overall. But his overall skills, yeah, he's fine. I think he was a fine and okay quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with all that, by the way. I this wasn't a challenge to your thoughts on Derek Carr. It's a challenge to
Well, like you were challenging me on Eli Manning a little bit there. And I honestly couldn't care less.
You thought about Eli Manning.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning is a Super Bowl champion.
But Eli Manning, like, Here's what my whole point with Carr is. Like, would you believe it? I think Matt Stafford's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Can we make that assumption? If Matt Stafford's in, I'm going to give you four other Hall of Fame, if you include Stafford, quarterbacks. And these are guys that pop into my head as, like, not like the Mahomes, Brady, where it's like next level, right? Derek Carr has a higher passing rating by significantly over Eli Manning, higher than Matt Stafford, right? It's almost the same as Ben Roethlisberger, and he's slightly under Phillip Rivers. So I think for me, it's about, like, when I think about Derek Carr, it's like, what if Derek Carr played for the Giants in those years? Would they have been more or less successful? Would he have been more or less successful? And what if Eli Manning played for the Raiders? And those Raiders teams, I'll bet you Eli Manning wouldn't have any Super Bowls, right? What if Ben Roethlisberger's not playing for the Steelers in that organization? He's a little different. Cool. I actually put him a class above. But they are. But what I mean
I can't
is, like,
tell
in the
you,
NFL,
by the way,
like, those margins are so razor thin, and it's so luck of the draw on where some of these quarterbacks land.
Like, this is the most, like, sports talky topic. Like, I hate these exercises. Like,
really?
Would you compare Derek Carr and his eighth year versus Eli Manning in his third year versus Ben Roethlisberger in this or like who knows? Like, I think that's so like baity into a conversation, and I hate it because like can we just appreciate like, yeah, Derek Carr was an okay quarterback. Full stop, leave it at that, we're done. Like it's fine to walk away from that.
It's kind of boring. Was Matt Stafford Derek Carr was a Hall of
Derek Carr was a boring quarterback. It's okay. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to turn a boring topic, an average middle of the road quarterback retiring after 11 years into a non-boring topic. And this is a boring topic. Like this is a dud of a topic, and it's okay that it is.
I don't think it's boring to wonder about a guy's landing spot. Matt Stafford wouldn't have sniffed the Hall of Fame. He was in Lions purgatory, right? Same quarterback, gets to the Rams, gets in a better system, better coach, all these things, wins a Super Bowl. Now he's going to be.
Like you can wonder about that stuff all day long. I don't think about it. I don't think like, okay, do I put Derek Carr at eighth? Like, is he above Eli Manning and behind Philip? Like, I don't think about that sort of thing. I don't really care. Like, he was there. He was in the NFL for 11 years. He had decent to good skills. He had good overall passing rating numbers, individual statistics. He didn't win a bunch. There were a lot of other factors behind it. He walks away and you just appreciate him for what he is. But I think this exercise of like trying to compare and contrast him with other quarterbacks and where he like, is he ninth? Is he 10th? Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? Like,
I just want to know where does he stand among quarterbacks? I think we do that in every sport with every player.
We do that with the guys at the very top. I couldn't care less in ranking where Derek Carr stands. Like, cool, he played for 11 years in the league. Thanks for your service. We move on. Like, he was fine. But I think it's a boring topic to talk about where he ranks all time. Who cares?
Okay, well, we'll stop talking about it then. We'll come back with more Sports Daily, another hour. Stick around.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.